The countdown. What if I don't want it to end? Dr. Donovan, Isabel whispers, leaning over her desk in between student presentations. Can you tell me which poem I should share at Espresso Self Cafe? I just don't know which one to present, and we don't have much time. I kneel beside her desk as our student MC calls up the next storyteller and whisper to Isabel. You should choose, but I'm happy to look at your portfolio and give you some suggestions. You wrote so many beautiful poems. Think about which one speaks to the audience. It's a night to express yourself. Isabel smiles. My heart warms. On May 17th, our school has an event that we call Espresso Self Cafe, where student artists put on display their work, musicians perform, and poets share their poems to celebrate self-expression with coffee and sweets in a cafe atmosphere. I'm looking forward to this event, which comes on the heels of our 30 Poems Challenge, a month-long celebration of poetry in honor of National Poetry Month. But I find myself in a state of melancholia at the same time. 30 days. For 30 days, I wrote a poem and read between 20 to 200, written by teens from Illinois to South Carolina. On Sundays in April, instead of writing one post for Ethical ELA about becoming a teacher, I wrote 7, one for each day of the upcoming week, hoping to inspire young poets to not only poem, but uncover all that poems do for our hearts and minds. And then each day of the week, I would rise early in the morning to compose a poem. Throughout the day and evening, instead of checking email and social media, instead of reading my hashtag book a day, I would read poetry. Poetry about our best parts, lists of loves, haiku, lessons learned, superpowers, secrets, music, food, family, new perspectives, flaws and strengths, sympathetic joy, how we'd like to be remembered, and any other topic that moved these poets. I would read thoughtful, and I mean thoughtful, comments about poets relating to one another with empathy, sympathy, and respect for 30 days. When I first started teaching over a decade ago, I didn't like poetry, in part because I had only ever read poetry from anthology and had never written poetry. I didn't know that when you write poetry, it changes you and how you perceive words, people, the world. I didn't know that when you share your poetry, you can impact others, and their responses to your words are responses to you, which is proof that you exist, that people see you, want to understand you. And who doesn't need that? I do. Certainly our students do. So this 30 poem challenge on Ethical ELA and that many other people and organizations do elsewhere was for all of us. We dedicated 20 of our 41 minutes of reading class every day to 30 poems. Essentially, I made 175 junior high students dive into the possibilities of poetry. Some counted down the minutes and others were enthralled reading, responding, and writing. Definitely in the flow. I knew from the beginning that this project was temporal given the month of National Poetry Month. The countdown helped me and students pace ourselves for the duration. But I lost sight of the finish line. I became so attached to the aesthetic experience that I didn't want it to end. About halfway into the 30 days, I started noticing a shift in the way some students were using language to express and connect. I started seeing students on the site all hours of the day and night. Like me, some students seemed to be drawn to verse. The aesthetic experience incited by poetry and poets was so attractive, magnetic, maybe addictive. There's actually research to explain a similar phenomenon. Quote, a study shows that recited poetry can spark brain activation patterns that produce emotional responses and engage the body's reward circuitry. I was feeling this just by reading poetry. Who knows what will happen on May 17th? Withdrawal. Now, just a week into May, I'm experiencing withdrawal. My reward circuitry feels neglected, and I wonder if some of the student poets are feeling the same. I hesitate to use withdrawal to describe my syndrome because we often think of withdrawal in relation to physical and psychological symptoms that follow a discontinuance of an addicting drug. I don't mean to understate the seriousness of such. However, after a day or two post 30 poems, I notice my mind floundering and my heart seeping into a sort of depression. I miss writing poetry as part of a community. I miss the daily, virtual, real connections with students whom I had not known until this 30-day experience. I miss the comments acknowledging my existence. I miss the comments among poets showing the potential of humanity to lift up one another. The daily engagement with words and lives in that virtual space nurtured me psychologically, but it also nourished me kinesthetically. The mental impacted my physical well-being with energy. And furthermore, when I saw these poets in the hallways and classrooms, I felt alive and connected in being with them. As I tried to get back into my hashtag book day the other night, I recognized my symptoms as withdrawal from 30 poems. I found myself checking the site for new poems and comments. I sat with my book in one hand and my cell in the other, rather lost and unsure what I was supposed to be doing. And in my belly stirred this familiar feeling. I'd been here before. The feeling I had at the ending of the 30 poems is the same feeling I get during summer break. I had just 9 days of class time left with our eighth graders. I have a few more with our seventh graders, and then I'll have no reason to get up in the morning. The aesthetic experience of teaching that makes me feel alive and worthy of being alive ends. Okay, so I might be overstating this slightly. Like many teachers, I am counting the days. I see the posts on social media and emails going around school with that countdown. Everyone knows and accepts and celebrates all that another year of education ending means. The counting for me, however, creates some anxiety about the even more profound withdrawal that I know is coming. I worry about what happens when I have no one to create for, no one to share the books with. I live in this world where 175 kids are forced to visit H103 every day and spend some 41 minutes with each other and me, but the day comes when they're no longer forced to attend and therefore don't. And suddenly my perceived need expires and that reward circuitry disconnects. I know this is the nature of our work. There is a beginning and an end every year. And every year I have to figure out how to manage the withdrawal of purpose, the withdrawal of that aesthetic experience. Last year, I took up the hashtag Book a Day Challenge and read PD books to fill the emptiness. Other years, I started a PhD. That was 5 years. I wrote a book. That was another year. And I launched this blog. Essentially, I fill the emptiness with something. And I hopefully that was something healthy. But still, everything I've tried has fallen short of satisfying this reward circuitry. I'm dependent. I'm attached. However, my identity is bound up in something that's impermanent. And that's a problem for me. Accepting impermanence. I'm not Buddhist, though I often consider converting because so many doctrines help me as a human. The poem prompt, Sympathetic Joy, was inspired by Buddhism, and I turn to Buddhism's impermanence now to help me reframe my withdrawal and melancholia. Essentially, the doctrine of impermanence asserts that a condition of our existence is transient, evanescent, and constant. Quote, all physical and mental events, states Buddhism, come into being and dissolve. The Buddha taught that because no physical or mental object is permanent, desires for or attachments to either causes suffering. So in considering impermanence, I acknowledge that my attachment to the classroom causes me a degree of suffering. I'm not sure why I hold so tightly to that physical shared space with students or why the mental work is so enveloping, all-consuming. I hold on beyond the ending so tightly that I have to think about, you know, what else in my life might be missing. Or perhaps more productively, maybe I should just accept and celebrate that transient nature of our work and detach with grace. So for closure, I'm feeling that I am really deliberate about planning a closure or opportunities for closure for my students, like portfolios and class pictures and Espresso Self Cafe. And we have that graduation ceremony at the end of the year. I sort of thought that these worked as closure for me, but I've noticed I kind of facilitate those rather than engage in the experiences. So I need a closure routine just for me. How about this? First, I'll share a gratitude poem on May 17th at Espresso Self Cafe. Then I'll write one more blog post reflecting on my year, sign off, and bask in the gift of another year reading alongside other people's children. And then I'll stop being a teacher, except for the two conferences I committed to, and try just being as I swim, bike, run, play, eat, sleep, and love. And when August comes around, I will celebrate my time away and welcome another school year.